This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, boy. Like we always say, earth, wind, and fire. It's good for your soul. Good for your soul, young man. Paul's Eye Show brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's, the official chicken wing of the Fan. Archie's, the home of 50 Cent Wings, Monday through Thursday. The home of the Paul's Ice Grilled Cheese Sandwich. Get down to Archie's, say hello. Also, we are brought to you by Pittsburgh Criminal Law Group and the Solomon Auto Group. So there's that. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, with locations in North Huntington and in the North Hills. As much fun as it's been talking about the collapse and whatnot of your Penguins, well, we're going to switch gears. Joined now by our good friend Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette. Ray is the, are you the beat writer or now, or are you one of the beat writers? What is your new label now that Ed Bouchette has joined the Athletic?
Yeah, I don't know if we've doled out titles yet, Paul. So Steelers beat writer is good for now. We'll figure the rest out later.
Okay. We'll call you the beat writer. How about that?
That sounds good.
All right. So, Ray, I guess, you know, we'll start with last night. And I said this, you know, last night on my show. All you need to know about how dominant of a league, All you need to know about how dominant of a league the NFL is that essentially unveiling the schedule, which we already knew all the opponents everybody was going to play anyway, has turned into a holiday. That's all you need to know about where the NFL is in terms of dominance.
Yeah, I mean, what, ESPN had a two-hour special on it, of course. You know, the NFL Network, the league's own network, had a few hours where they went through it too. And you know, if you read any newspaper or any website today, there were, writers and analysts breaking down the schedule, who's going to win each week, who's going to lose. So it's a lot of fun. I got to admit, before I got into this, I was just a fan of the NFL. I would look forward to the release of the schedule. Now that I'm in it, you know, I sort of understand, what goes into it, and you know, how you look at a game in April is certainly going to change from how you look at it in October. But listen, for the fans, it's a whole heck of a lot of fun, and the NFL certainly gets every ounce of publicity out of it as they can, don't they?
Yeah, I was going to say it's interesting for the Steelers' sake. They are going to play on prime time the first night the first Sunday night against the Patriots. What do you think about that, playing that game that early?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of makes sense. I mean, any other year probably would have been the opening Thursday night game. Since this year is the 100th year anniversary of the NFL, they got a different game to open up the season. I think it's the Bears and Packers, right? Bears and somebody.
Yeah, it's the Bears and Packers.
Yeah, I mean, so it makes sense. You know, 4 days later, you're going to pick the two teams with the most Super Bowl trophies, and you got 6 for New England now, and of course 6 for the Steelers. And from a Steelers perspective, they've never really had a lot of luck up at Foxborough, certainly not since Tom Brady has been the quarterback there. So it's going to be a tough challenge for the Steelers. I think the first month of the season, Paul, I think it's really tough on the Steelers. Seattle's a good team. You got to come open with them at home. San Francisco in San Francisco isn't going to be a cakewalk. So, the way I'm sort of looking at the first month of the season, Paul, and I think it does get a little bit easier, you know, October, November. If they can get through that first month 2-2, if they come out of that first month right there, I think they'll be okay, and they'll they'll have a chance to compete in the division. The thing you don't want to do is go 1-3 or 0-4, and then, you know, your season's pretty much over. I do think it's a really, really tough start for the Steelers, you know, when I break it down.
Yeah, there's no question about it. We're talking with Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette. Ray, you look at all things considered, and I wrote a column about it today, kind of poking some fun at these national morons, the national hot take guys. It looks to me like the NFL kind of still thinks the Steelers brand is intact, right? I mean, they're 5 times on prime time, and probably 3 or 4 at least more times they'll be at that 4:15, 4:30 slot. Yeah. That's a lot of very high-profile games for a team that is supposedly going to be, you know, their reputation is damaged or tarnished or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the Steelers. They're a brand, just like the Yankees are a brand in MLB, and, you know, the Canadians are a brand in the National Hockey League. And a couple of those, Paul, I mean, listen, there were no-brainers, right? You were going to see Pittsburgh and Cleveland in a primetime game just because of the Odell Beckham, Baker Mayfield angle and the Browns, you know, all of a sudden being contenders. And it was also a no-brainer in my mind to put the Steelers, you know, in there with the Jets. I believe that's a primetime game too as well. So a couple of those were ready-made. They really made a lot of sense. But if you look at it over the last, I don't know however many years, but I'm sure if you went back to look at 2012, 2013, when the Steelers struggled a little bit, I guarantee you they were on national TV just as often in those years or coming off those bad years. It's just what the league and the networks want. When you're a league like the NFL, I mean, I covered Big East basketball. Big East basketball went to CBS and ESPN, and they let them make their schedule. I mean, the NFL basically does the same thing. You know, they don't get to pick the opponents, but these networks certainly get to pick when these games are played. And, you know, looking at the money that's brought in, I think it's beneficial, you know, for all parties involved.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Ray. Now, you know, speaking of the NFL's dominance and their ability to just be a league that is, you know, 365 days a year talked about, a week from today will be the draft. I know you've done a lot of work on mock drafts and things of the such. What do you think it's realistic for the Steelers to come away with at 20? And do you expect that they might move up if they have a chance to grab one of those inside linebackers?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Paul. You know, a lot of people have been talking the last couple months about, you know, trading up in the draft and, you know, what are these draft value charts? So I decided to write about it today and, you know, just explain it to people. And, you know, as I did research on it, I sort of, you know, came across little nuggets and little facts that I didn't really know. So, you know, it's been really interesting for me to sort of look into what it's going to take to trade up. The Steelers haven't done it a lot in their history. They've only done it twice, but the two times they did it, it was great for them. They got Troy Polamalu the first time in 03. He helped them win 2 Super Bowls, and, of course, 2006 they get Santonio Holmes, and even though they didn't sign him to a second contract, he makes the greatest catch in Super Bowl history, and he's the reason they won Super Bowl 43. So when they do it, when they have conviction, it turns out to be really good for them. But I'll go back to last year, Paul. They needed an inside linebacker again last year. They couldn't move up from 30 to 22 to get one of the guys they wanted. I don't think the Steelers are going to break the bank, so to speak, to get that guy. This is a very deep draft in the second and third rounds. It's not very great at the top. You know, it's good like 1 through 15, 1 through 17, and then you can go all the way to like pick 70, you know, like pick 17 to 70, and there's a lot of similarities between those guys, not a lot of difference between first, second, maybe even third rounders. So, you know, if there's a guy they want to target, if it's Devin White or Devin Bush, and they can get it done, I think they'll get it done. But I also think they'll be quite content to sit at 20, you know, sit at 52, and then sit in the third round with those two picks and just address their needs as they come if they want to do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, they one thing they did, Ray, they made some really good decisions, I thought, in terms of finding value in free agents. Didn't break the bank to go out and get big name guys, but they filled some holes, or at least they built some depth, and that should give them a little bit of flexibility, right, with the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not in a position now where they have to go out and get a cornerback because you signed Steven Nelson to the richest free agent contract in franchise history. So he's going to step in and play opposite Joe Hayden. By the same token, you don't absolutely need to pick a receiver in the first or second round now because you went out and got Dante Moncrief. You know, the one place where, you know, I think there's still some vulnerability, Paul, is inside linebacker. I'm still a little bit unclear on whether Mark Barron is going to step in and be that starter next to Vince Williams, or maybe they have him targeted to be that dime linebacker that, you know, Morgan Burnett played for most of last season when he was healthy. So it's all setting up to get one of those two guys, Devin Bush or Devin Whitehall. But if they can't do that, I still think there's a little bit of a void there at inside backer. And as I look at this team's needs going into the draft, I think it's glaring right now. It's inside linebacker, and then it's everything else. I mean, you could take a receiver in the second round. You could take a corner. You could take a safety. It's all equal needs after the first round. I think inside linebacker is still the target if they can get one of those guys in round one.
Do you think that they could move up? Like, say one of those Devins fall to, like, about 15 or something. Do you think they have enough maybe to move up there, like, to 15 or 16?
Yeah, I mean, I, in doing the research for that story, Paul, you would have to give up. If you move up to 15, all you would have to give up is number 20 overall. And then your second-round pick, which I think is like number 84, that's what the chart says. Now, teams might know the Steelers really want to do that, so maybe the Steelers would have to throw in a sixth-round pick, which is okay. They got three of them. But it wouldn't hurt you all that much to trade, you know, a first, a third, and a sixth if you really want to move up and get that guy, if you really think he's a difference maker or you really think that's the guy to fit your defense, to make your defense whole again the way it was whole when Ryan Shazier was here. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about moving up in the top 10. Top 10 is going to cost you, you know, your first, your early second, your fourth, and maybe a sixth or a seventh too. That's going to be really expensive. But if Devin Bush falls to 14, 15, I think the Steelers would be really, really tempted to try to trade up and make a move if that happened.
Yeah, that'll be real interesting to see. You know, you wrote a little bit, I guess it was maybe a week or two ago, about the possibility of them trying to go get an edge rusher.
Yeah, I mean, your school, Paul, Florida State, Brian Burns is a really intriguing guy, and he's not just an edge rusher. He's a really versatile guy. I watched him, I think I watched him against Florida, and they had him spying Florida's quarterback. You know, as an inside linebacker. So he could play off the ball or he could play rush linebacker, which is what he did most of the time. But Florida State's coach has really utilized his athleticism a lot. And I think that could be in play too. Listen, if one of the Devins aren't there, there's uncertainty at outside linebacker. Bud Dupree, he's going to get paid this year, $9.2 million, but it doesn't look like they're going to sign him to a second contract until he proves that he's worth it. So in a worst-case scenario, if he doesn't have a good year this year, then you'd be right back in square one in 2020 looking for a starting inside linebacker, probably in round one. So there's all sorts of ways they can go if they don't draft an inside linebacker, Paul. You can go outside backer. You can go receiver. You can go tight end, safety, corner. All options are on the table if they don't get that inside linebacker they want.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They probably could draft a tight end, but do you think that they would use a first-rounder on a tight end?
Well, no, I think the most likely scenario is they're going to take a guy probably in the third or fourth round, but I don't think there's any way T.J. Hockenson is going to fall to 20. Most mock drafts now, you see him as a top-10 pick. If he's there, you grab him because he – you know, you plug him in as a day one starter, Vance McDonald sort of becomes your number two, which is okay because you play a lot of two tight end sets. But, you know, that's another Heath Miller. That's a guy who's going to make the Pro Bowl and, you know, be on your team for 10 years. The more intriguing one to me, and I don't know if he has that kind of potential, but Noah Fant from Iowa, he's bigger than Hockenson. He's faster. He's just not that all-around tight end. He's not a good inline blocker. I think he's a little bit inconsistent with his hands. So if you're looking for that big target that can run, that can stretch defenses and can cause matchup problems, Noah Fant is probably that next guy off the board, and I think he'd be more likely to be available at 20. But even then, Paul, I don't know if the Steelers would pull the trigger. I'd be intrigued at that point. I mean, I'd be really – that would be a tough decision for the Steelers, I think, but I still think they would rather address defense if they could, if there's a player there at 20 that they, you know, that they like.
Last one for you, Ray, and I'll let you go. The one position that is absolutely probably off the table is quarterback, right?
I thought it was off the table last year too, but yeah, definitely this year. Josh Dobbs and Mason Rudolph are, you know, second and third year guys. I cannot see any scenario, Paul, where they could take a quarterback this year. This isn't a great quarterback class. You got Murray at the top, who I think is going to go number one. I think he can be good in the right system, you know, the right college system that he played in. These other guys, Drew Locke, Haskins, I don't know about these other guys. So I don't see the Steelers taking a quarterback this year. But then again, hey, I didn't see them taking Mason Rudolph in the third round last year either. Well,
Ray, great stuff as always. And I guess in a couple of days you'll have to like go to work, right? I mean, pretty much the draft is next week.
Yeah, and you were talking at the top about the Penguins. I cannot remember the last time it was a draft night and the Penguins were not on the TV above as these picks were going by. So it's going to be a little bit weird not watching the Penguins on draft night. I guess we'll actually have to watch the draft this year.
All right, Ray. Well, yep, you'll actually have to pay attention to the draft, which is, you know, not always a good thing. So, all right, my man, have a good night, buddy.
All right, you too, Paul. Take care.
All right, it's Ray for the part of the Post Gazette on Paul's Ice. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.